Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up, sir.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
To do it extra long, you know why? Because I'm extra excited about this show we have for you today, folks. You are now talking with TD. I appreciate each of you for tuning in. It is my pleasure to bring you Jalen Hurts this week. That's right, folks. We went out and we got him. We also got his QB coach, so we're gonna talk to him a little bit. His name is Quincy Avery, so we appreciate both of those guys agreeing to do this show. And guess what else? Calvin's Corner. We're back. That's right. We're going to take a stroll on Calvin's Corner. We haven't done that in a bit, and, man, it's just going to be good getting back on the avenue, walking to Calvin's Corner. But before we do that, there's a little bit of house cleaning that we have to do. We want to address some of the different things that are going on with the Titans. I want to actually start off by saying I hope everybody is in good shape. I know these are unprecedented times. I know this is something that we're all dealing with. Some have more issues than others. Just pray, wash your hands, stay safe. You know, that's my suggestion to each of you. But I think it's time to look at leadership, right? We have a lot of leadership issues in our society, but this is a sports podcast, so I'm not going to step on that soapbox. There may be leadership issues within the Titans locker room. That's what I want to talk about. And I'm not going to say it an issue, but there may be a shortage, because what are they potentially losing in Logan Ryan? Well, in Logan Ryan, they are losing a guy that was the leader of the secondary. And if you look at it, Calvin, when Tremaine Brock came, you know what they did? When they signed him off the market, when they pulled him off, dusted him off the shelf, you know what they did to make sure that he got up to speed? They had him stay with Logan Ryan throughout practice. We had Tremaine on talking with TD, and that's what he told us. And even in watching the portion that we were able to view as media, that's what I saw. I saw 35 and 26 together. That's an example of the leadership that Logan Ryan brings to the table. If he doesn't come back here, whoever gets him, you're getting a tremendous locker room presence. But it's not just Logan Ryan. And by the way, you could check my Twitter. Before the games, who's breaking down the DBs? Who's telling them this is what we grind for from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day? We do that so we can reap the harvest on Sunday. That's what Logan Ryan, that type of stuff is what he tells the other DBs. He's clearly the leader. So he's one example. Now, one thing that was pretty good, John Robinson, when he spoke to us on the conference call, he said that they have been in talks with Logan's representatives. Who knows what happened? But I think the ship has kind of sailed on the Wesley Woodyard part of things. You're also losing a guy who, even though he didn't play every down, was a captain and the leader of that defense. He and Jarrell Casey, a huge loss. These were the guys who walked the team onto the field before games. They were in the front of the line when they ran out there, out of the tunnel, as far as away games. You're losing a lot of leadership. And then Delanie Walker. You ask Jonnu Smith about Delanie Walker. You ask Taylor Lewan about Delanie Walker. You ask anybody on the team about Delanie Walker or any of these other guys that I've mentioned. They are the core leadership group, right? So now, who's next? I think Kevin Byard is a guy that they've actually called on. We know that. That's once he got that deal and it was established that he was a cornerstone on the defense, that's the one they called upon to be one of the leaders on the defense. I think Derrick Henry, he made strides also. So this is another guy in his own way is going to be a leader. Expect to see Ryan Tannehill step up as a leader also. So those are three guys. Everyone leads in their own way, but those are three guys. And I'm going to drop a nugget that I think is one that no one is really saying, but Rashawn Evans, I expect him to step up into a core leadership role with this team also. So before we get to Jalen Hurts and Quincy Avery and Calvin's Corner, I wanted to just get that off of my chest in regards to the leadership side of things. We'll see what happens. And the Titans bought Kamale Correa back. Very, very surprised by that. But it's not something I felt they shouldn't do. I was just surprised that it happened because I was told that it wasn't likely. But fortunately for Correa, he's able to stay here. We'll see what happens. He'll continue. I want to see who wears number 44, though. Correa or Vic Beasley. If I was Kamale, I would rub my fingers together and say, cha-ching, if you want it, come get it. But anyhow, we're going to go to a break. Talking with TD. Check it out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Folks, rate, review, subscribe. Let's go. We'll be right back.
This is Corey Davis, and you're talking with TD.
What is it, Dre?
Yo, man, that's the formula.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. That's that OG music, man, DOC, the formula. We're going to bring in an OG of this quarterback thing. And this next gentleman is a guy who has a pretty good grasp on the formula for the modern QB, the guy that is positioned to do well in these type of circumstances in the NFL. We're going to bring in QB guru, the Q-ru, we'll call him. Quincy, I love myself, Quincy Avery. Quincy, yeah. What's good, man?
Well, I'm blessed. I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
I'm doing the same, man, hanging in there and just making this thing work. One of the things I really like about now is it's giving me more time to dive into film. And I will say this. I watched some of the guys that you worked with, you know, namely Deshaun Watson, and just seeing what he does. He's one of the top quarterbacks, so I want to get into your background, though, how you've been able to position yourself to work with guys like Deshaun Watson, our next guest, Jalen Hurts, and some of the other QBs that you've worked with.
Yeah, so I got an interesting story. I'm a son of a coach, so I've been born and raised around football. I played football when I was in college, and when I got done playing there, I was kind of looking around the landscape for someone who was a new coach and maybe didn't have their staff full. I saw the UCLA had a new coach, Rick Neuheisel, and I just packed up all my stuff, drove from Atlanta to L.A., and I sat on the couch, and I waited for him to get there. So I did that for 3 days. He finally gave me an interview, said, I don't have a job for you, but I'll let you volunteer. Volunteered there for a year, then got promoted, and then I was about to be the GA, and I'm like, nah, I want to do something else. So during that time, the GA, as an assistant, wasn't making any money, so I was living in the locker room, living in my car. I'm like, nah, I'd rather go privately train quarterbacks. So I spent the better part of those 2 years, like, reviewing quarterback films, seeing what guys needed to do to get better and all that. And I saw the landscape change a little bit. So I packed up all my stuff, drove back to Atlanta, and then I lived out of my car for, like, a year and a half, 2 years, and literally Facebook messaged kids nonstop all day till I finally found somebody who was willing to let me try and train them for free. And that was Joshua Dobbs with the University of Tennessee. And it's still playing in the NFL today. And my client list kind of grew from there.
That's awesome. And one of the things, just to further tie in the Tennessee roots, Trent Dilfer is here coaching a high school out here. And I know that he had some comments. You know, he said you didn't let anything get in the way. And he mentioned how he wasn't even sure how you were, you know, getting gas money to be able to come there. But you came to him and he kind of, you guys worked together to be able to further your career as far as a QB developer.
Yeah, so TD is currently the head coach of Elite 11, right? And after I've been working with Josh, they saw him, he made it to the program. They liked the way he was coached, and I ran into them at their Atlanta camp. He calls me that Tuesday, says, hey, man, I got an opportunity for you in Ohio. You want to come out to the Super Regional, which is like the best. Every quarterback coach in the private sector was there. All the big name high school quarterbacks were out there this weekend, and I didn't really have any money to get there. I borrowed, I think it was $120 from my mom, drove up there, and just sat. And wasn't able to get a hotel room, but parked outside, hopped in the shower at LA Fitness the day of the event. Went out there to the event, coached my tail off, and then I ended up getting a spot there. So, Trent probably didn't know all the things that people were doing or the things that I was doing, just to be a member of that Elite 11 staff. But it ended up working out, and I got to meet some amazing coaches. Got a mentor like Trent Dilfer all from that day.
And now through your group, the QB Takeover, you're working with a lot of guys. I mentioned Deshaun Watson, but I want to get into Jalen Hurts. And I know his pro day, you organized that. I remember sending you, I said, you know what, I'm just going to send this guy a random DM. I sent you a DM and just wished you the best at the pro day. And it seemed like everything from what I got to see was set up pretty well. So what went into how you put together Jalen Hurts' pro day?
It's a long process. So I'm going to just kind of walk people through the pre-draft process because I feel like a lot of people don't know about that. So we start in January. This is a week after the final game. I like to give guys a week off so they can rest, recover a bit. Then he comes to Atlanta. We're kind of, at that point, focused on whatever fundamental changes that we're going to make for that quarterback. Jalen had a couple, just in terms of throw motion and mechanics, and then he had to go to Senior Bowl. So they didn't really come in place yet, right? So some of the people saw him at Senior Bowl. They're like, it's not necessary. But we worked on those things throughout the period of time coming up to Combine. And I think people saw a much improved passer from Senior Bowl to the Combine. And then during that time, we're working on those things, working on the Combine throws. We're building out a script. We're working on different things. Seeing what Jalen feels really, really comfortable throwing. And also what highlights and situations that people might have seen on tape or something that they didn't get a chance to see that he may do really well. So we're building that. We got it up to about 85 throws, and we kind of chisel it away so we can have about 65 throws of kind of like you get to create a test, and then you take the test, you create it. So I wanted to show Jalen has the ability to do every single thing you could ask a quarterback to do.
And that's the thing. I really feel like, because I watched him throw at the Combine, and he made those deep outbreaking routes, throws, he made spot on down the field throws. He did everything that he needed, in my opinion, to show that he could make all the throws. So when you hear these guys say, he can't make all the throws, so he's not going to be a good NFL quarterback. How do you react to that?
I think it's silly. I just don't understand when people say those things. He came from two different systems where he was highly successful at everything they asked him to do. One of the things at Alabama, he was really, really pro-style, and he was able to do those things very well. And then Oklahoma was not necessarily pro-style, but the two quarterbacks in the previous years, both were the number one pick, and they had similar seasons, very similar to the things that he was doing. And it was an added element of being one of the most explosive runners at the quarterback position.
And that's my thing. And I keep saying that's my thing because there's so much that bothers me with this process as far as how it's treating Jalen Hurts. So many people say, well, Oklahoma, he's only good because he was in that system. But that same quote isn't applied to Baker Mayfield, who was a number one pick. Now, I'm not asking you to compare Mayfield to Jalen Hurts, but what is it about Jalen Hurts that makes him, in your opinion, so ready to go to the next level and not have to worry about not being able to throw to guys that are wide open, have to worry about seeing it and believing it and throwing with anticipation?
Yeah, his maturity level is off the charts. So what he's going to do is get going there and he can prepare harder than anybody else so that he's prepared for all the situations. And as the game changes, which it will a little bit from the system he was just in, going to the NFL, he'll know what's expected of him because he'll do all the preparation and see what everybody else is doing in the league. And he understands the throws that he needs to make, when he needs to make them. And when he has that level of preparation, when he goes in there with the coaching staff that's going to coach it up with the detail that NFL coaching staffs do, he's going to be tremendously successful because he'll know what's expected of him. and he'll be able to execute based on that.
And you've worked closely with Deshaun Watson, and he's known for that never die mindset. It seems like I don't care if the score is 100-0 and there's 2 minutes left in the game. It seems like he's that guy that's going to go out there and say, you know what, we can still win this. Like, he's always believing. You look at Jalen Hurts and that Baylor game, how they came back. Do you see similarities as far as, like, that degree of seriousness and focus on the prize at hand?
I see similarities in terms of their competitiveness.
Gotcha.
They're both two extremely competitive dudes who don't want to lose at anything. And that gives them the opportunity to always have their team in it when they're in the game. The seriousness is a little – Jalen is a little bit more of a serious guy. Like, always – he's always ready to – like, not necessarily always ready to work, but he's always, like, on edge. Like, he's super detailed down in – and Deshaun's a little bit more relaxed in that manner. But their attention to detail and their ability to compete at the highest level, those are the things that separate them from many others.
And then in the whole process of working with Jalen – was there anything in particular that you went in and you wanted to kind of tweak or reset as far as his mechanics or anything along those lines?
Oh, yeah, we wanted to just hone in on some of the NFL footwork, the under-center, five-step drop. You know, those simple things, I think they seem simple, but there's a lot of details that go into those things. And there's really minor adjustments we made with his throw motion, but To the eye, I don't think you'd see many of those. People say he's a more smooth passer now, but it's just because he did some small little tweaks that allowed him to open things up and get more on sequence. It was more of a sequencing thing, less about like big overhaul changes.
And you know what it is these days, right? You know, Lamar Jackson passes for 300 miles a yards in college, and he comes out and they say, oh, well, he can't be a passer. Deshaun Watson does what he does at Clemson in the same conference as Mitch Trubisky, but Mitch Trubisky gets picked before him. Josh Allen, you know, has accuracy issues, and he still goes before Lamar Jackson. When you look at this day and age, and just the approach to the black quarterback, what have you noticed as far as the paradigm that these guys are viewed through?
I think that it's ever evolving, but we're still graded on a different scale than a lot of other people. And when I say that, it's not, hey, you can't be you can be the best quarterback in the league and be an African American. I think we've seen that with four or five of the top quarterbacks in the league. Those black faces of the franchise guys, and they're supported because they're doing really, really well, and they're carrying their team to win a lot of games, and that's great. But then you see somebody like Cam Newton, who still is playing at a pretty high level when he's healthy, but then as soon as things aren't going the way that then he moves aside and casts aside, can't find a deal. People say what they want about Jameis Winston, but you look at his QBR, it's the same exact percentage as Tom Brady. He threw a lot of interceptions, but he created a lot of plays, and the receivers had a lot of interceptions on their hand. So we're not given the same opportunity to be average in terms of a lot of other people, and that's because maybe the relationships in the room, the dynamic of that quarterback room where you got a bunch of the quarterback coaches typically not a black guy and they don't relate to those guys. The backup quarterback's often a white guy. So there's a lot of other layers to it, but the thing that's changing most is that we're just not allowed to be average in the same way, so you better be elite if you're in there and you're going to be a black quarterback and you're on the field.
Yeah, 100%. Now, that being said, looking at a guy like Jalen Hurts, with the way this league is evolving to where you have to be able to, A, extend plays, you have to be able to run to pass the football, you have to be able to throw down the field on the run with accuracy, do you feel that these are some of the things that kind of work more into a quarterback like Jalen Hurts' favor?
Yeah, I think that the way the game's evolving, the things that you can do to defense in terms of stress them out.
Yes.
Because he can add so much in terms of the run game. And then even not necessarily the run game, but a called pass in terms of the scramble drill, and they're creating and they're able to evade the defense for just an additional second, allows them to get open and they can push the ball downfield. And he's extremely accurate in that. I think that's one of the strengths of his game, is just being able to move and throw the ball that accurately. So he's going to be successful because of the things that he can do, not only in the pocket, but that added dimension.
No doubt about it. There it is, folks. This is why I wanted to get someone like Quincy on. And you guys definitely need to follow what he's doing. I really love how you're inviting people to send you, you know, DMs in regards to your seminars that you're doing. You're doing great work. I'm going to send you a request to watch your next one. So just know that that's coming. But I appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you having me. Have a blessed day. Stay safe. Be healthy.
Thanks. You do the same.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Let that play. Right, you know what that means. We're riding down the block. I got my shoulder lean, one arm on the steering wheel, and we are about to pull up to the corner, Calvin's corner, that is. I'm gonna put this thing in reverse, put my hand over the seat, palm the wheel as I turn it, and we park. And we are now posted up on Calvin's corner. Been a while, man.
It has been a while. After the season ended, things kind of changed. But when you told me that it was really looking like we were going to get Jalen Hurts, and when it was developing that I knew that you wanted him, I keep up, obviously, with what's going on in analytics. It doesn't matter if it's NFL or college. And someone named Josh Hermsmeyer at 538, at Frisco Josh on Twitter, produced a really good metric called CPOE that looks on Jalen Hurts favorably. And this is kind of the Jalen Hurts episode of Talking with TD. And I wanted to use this segment as a strong backup for what you've tweeted out and you've said about Jalen Hurts, specifically about the throws he makes and his ability to make NFL throws, because I believe, to a pretty good extent, CPOE is a good measure of that. Now, obviously, we have to define CPOE, because the one thing analytics is really bad at is making acronyms or names that are easily translatable. So yeah. CPOE stands for completion percentage over expectation. We know not every throw is created equally. Mostly, a lot of that tends to be a factor of distance down the field. It's harder to complete a pass 30, 40 yards down the field than it is to complete a screen pass. Generally speaking, that's probably accepted. So CPOE attempts to encapsulate that and quantify a quarterback's ability to complete throws at different levels of difficulty as you get down the field. So the OE stands for over expectation. That is what the number comes down to, is on the grand scale across all throws, from the minimum value of zero to the highest value of a pass thrown by that quarterback, the average of how much above average they are. Jalen Hurts, since 2011, had the fourth highest CPOE of Power 5 quarterbacks. The quarterbacks ahead of him, Russell Wilson and Joe Burrow.
Can you say that one more time for emphasis?
Russell Wilson, who was, I believe, a third-round pick coming out, but obviously has turned into an NFL quarterback, NFL MVP caliber quarterback, and Joe Burrow, someone who's going to be the first overall pick. And just to give you a little bit more context on what it means to be in really good company with CPOE, Baker Mayfield, right behind Jalen Hurts in the rankings. Robert Griffin III, Jameis Winston, and another season from Baker Mayfield. What do a lot of these guys have in common? First overall picks. And the outlier is Russell Wilson. So I use that to look at that and think that, hey, maybe Jalen Hurts will get a little bit of helium as this draft process continues and will slide up in the draft, given what we've learned about how good Russell Wilson turned out to be and the company that this metric puts him in. Now, does this metric directly relate to NFL success? No. Obviously, there is a lot more to it than just the depth of the field, the depth of the targets at which you're throwing down the field. But CPOE has shown a better stability to NFL success than yards per attempt, than average depth of target, and things like that. It's a really, really good number that puts Jalen Hurts in a good category that I think really, in another way, shows and proves that Jalen Hurts can make a lot of throws that get discounted against him. Mm-hmm. This is direct quantification, quantifiable evidence of that.
I like when analytics makes a good point. But what I like is when analytics match what you see on the field. And I'm glad you're doing this to show, you know, the expectation, the accuracy over expectation.
Something I need to note there, that is adjusted for conference, by the way. So
really?
If he's playing in the Big 12, then obviously the Big 12 has that little bit of inflation, so he'll be compared to other Big 12 quarterbacks versus okay. being compared to Mountain West quarterbacks or SEC quarterbacks or something like that. So it's another way to build into the model you make for this to account for the teams you're playing against week in and week out.
So it filters through all – wow, that's advanced analytics right
yes.
there.
Yeah, it's a really good one. It comes from 538, Josh Hermsmeyer. He's written two articles in each of the past two draft cycles about it and how it's used for quarterback evaluation.
Do you have anything that really focuses on, because I know you mentioned it slightly, but do you have anything that really focuses on downfield accuracy?
Yeah, so that's how you would look at Jalen Hurts in that specifically in that time frame. Sadly, Josh and 538 haven't made that public for Jalen Hurts yet.
Okay.
And I believe a lot of that would probably be due to coronavirus. His pro day numbers haven't come out and things like that. It kind of gunks up the process, but that isn't publicly available. But you don't get a good CPOE without being highly above average across a lot of depths of the field.
How about something to account for what he was able to do? Because look, I mean, a guy had 3,800 passing yards, over 1,000 rushing yards. So we're talking about a lot of touchdowns that he accounted for. Is there anything else or something else that you feel does a good job of showcasing what he's able to do?
Honestly, I believe that quarterbacks who put up numbers in college do well. That's just, I mean, unless you're coming from a very, very inflated system, and we had Washington State quarterback Anthony Gordon on, and that can definitely be held against you if you're an air raid quarterback. But if you look at quarterbacks in Power 5 football, generally they aren't running systems that are going to over and over and over and over inflate you to the point where you're just propping up your numbers. So you can go look at yards per attempt and average depth of target as well to figure that out on an averaged basis. So Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma put up high cumulative totals, good rate statistics as well. Were they, you know, Heisman winner numbers like Joe Burrow put up? Well, no, but Joe Burrow won the Heisman and did something obscenely out of this world. So I think that's also going to get discounted against Jalen Hurts as he didn't do what Joe Burrow did, but Joe Burrow was just lights out. I mean, QB1, mm-hmm. right?
Without a doubt.
So when you're looking at that, quarterbacks in Power 5 football who just put up big numbers like Jalen Hurts did, getting that Heisman invite, and it was more than just with his legs.
Yeah, Heisman runner-up, you know? And it's almost like I was thinking about that this morning. I honestly think even if he did have a better season than anyone else, I don't know that they would have given it to him. Like, how can you give it to three Oklahoma guys in a row?
Right.
You know, but either way, he was the runner-up, so that was still something that's really good. I want to know about completion percentage.
Yep.
Also, do you have anything on there?
Yeah, so I'm pulling
it up. Throw it at me, whatever you got.
I'm pulling it up right now. So Jalen Hurts last season, 237 completions on 340 attempts. That's almost 70% of your passes. And CPOE is basically an adjustment on completion percentage to give you an advantage if you're completing more difficult throws down the field. So that's kind of a different way of explaining it that I'm trying to get at. And Jalen Hurts, I mean, obviously from his improvements from Alabama in 2018 to Oklahoma in 2019, his yards per attempt is improved, his adjusted yards per attempt improved, and of course, he threw more touchdowns and maintained a solid touchdown-to-interception ratio. I mean, everything that you see from just a pure, regular numbers standpoint is what you want to see, because I have a tough time getting past a quarterback prospect who wasn't able to put up good numbers at to a certain extent in college. I feel like as a quarterback, you are the alpha dominant player on the field, and you control more of the game than anybody else, maybe in any sport out there. That's why I think for quarterbacks, production matters if you're playing in Power 5 especially. So that stands, and then with CPOE as well.
That's really – is there anything that – so, you know what, let me ask you this. So if you took these numbers, right, and just spit it into a computer and said, tell me where this guy would be drafted, is there anything that would say that he's not a first-rounder?
So that would require me running a model. I definitely can do that. That is very achievable. It would just take a good bit of data collection. You can absolutely do that, though, and build. Actually, I'm kind of doing something similar to that with wide receiver prospects. I'm actually working on it right now. That's why a couple weeks ago I asked you about how you compared the differences between Calvin Ridley and Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
Because it turned up a result that said Calvin Ridley's closest comparison was Stephon Diggs coming out of the draft.
That's eerie how the numbers met, because both of those guys, those are some of the smoothest route runners I've seen since 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Now, another guy that we're working on, Van Jefferson, I think could get into that category too. But no, it's just very eerie how, and that's the thing that's so, it's, I don't want to say interesting because I use that over and over again, that's so unique about this whole thing. When you have analytics and me not going by any analytics, just going by eye.
Yep.
Man, he a lot like Stephon Diggs. And then here it is, it's telling the same thing.
Yeah, so getting back to what you originally asked, that absolutely can be done with Jalen Hurts. And I think the numbers at Alabama would make it a little bit different, and then you would run into some different things with the number of attempts he threw in his 2018 season. But looking at his numbers with Oklahoma, I think, I mean, I'll go out and say it. I think Jalen Hurts is going to be a first-round pick. I think there's going to be that helium where even though teams aren't going to meet with him in person, and I think that's where a team really falls in love with him.
Yeah.
But I could totally see back end of the first round, which maybe in 5 years is a mistake in the system of the NFL, but I could totally see Jalen Hurts being a first-round pick, and I think he's worth that chance that you would take on him. So, yeah, I think you absolutely can do that because you can totally model that. But one thing I've run into with looking at wide receivers is trying to predict what round they'll get drafted in, is you run into an error where you get a comparison to a player who was underdrafted, who was drafted a little bit later, that turned out to be really, really good.
I.e. Diggs.
This is kind of exactly what I'm alluding to. But you run this kind of a model, and then you get a good comparison that's accurate, and then it tells you Calvin Ridley, there's a 25% chance he'll be a fifth-round pick because that's where Stephon Diggs was selected.
Okay.
So as you're balancing those kind of different weightings, it's tough. That's why I think I've kind of switched from trying to predict what round a player will be drafted in to just building a good comparison tool.
Yeah.
And that's actually something I'm working on now, is building a percentage comparison number.
Yeah, and I mean, look, man, Drew Brees was a second-round pick. So, you know, we're not going to get too hung up in the round. I was curious on there. So anything else from those models that you want to – you want to share?
I don't really think so. I know that if you're looking to also track where players' movement is in the draft, there's a guy out there, Benjamin Robinson, who literally takes every mock draft available on the internet, parses it, extracts all of the data from it, and then runs it into an algorithm that you can type in a player's name and it'll tell you where on average that player's being projected to go, and you can see that develop over time. So you can go type in Jalen Hurts and see if he's having that helium late in the draft.
Interesting. I'm not seeing any mocks with him in the first round, but yeah, wow. I don't think fourth round. Like, I think at worst a day two guy. So we'll see.
I really couldn't see that based on all of the production you've gotten from him, the good completion numbers, which are borne out on the tape as well. I mean, a second round pick, sure, I could see it, but I wouldn't pick Jacob Eason over him.
Yeah. And the thing with Jalen that is so good is the bell curve is going up. You know what I mean? He's steadily improving. So, well, folks, that's Calvin's Corner. Next up is the main event, and that's Jalen Hurts. So we're going to go to a break, and I will once again remind you to subscribe, rate, review. Talking with TD, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Thank you. We'll be right back.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
Yes, yes, yes. Back from the break, talking with TD. Man, this is probably the interview that I've been looking forward to more than any other one, because this is a guy that, I tell you what, anytime I post a video of what he does well or anything like that, man, you talk about responses. This is, in my opinion, our next guest is the most polarizing prospect in this draft class. And it's not because of anything negative. Without further ado, I'm bringing on Oklahoma quarterback Jalen Hurts. Jalen, what's going on, man?
Not much. I'm quarantining and, you know, trying to enjoy these moments with my family. You know, I will acknowledge the public enemy you had planned in the as we begin speaking. So I like that music over there you got going.
No doubt about it. And I played that for a couple of the other quarterbacks that look like you that I've had on, because I feel like as if there's just it's a different set of glasses that guys like yourself are viewed with. And we'll get into that. But I want to start right off the bat, because a lot of times with black quarterbacks, the mental aspect is something that is critiqued. I don't think there's any critique in your mental aspect. I want to ask you, how did you develop the leadership skills that you've developed and just the ability to just stay focused and on the prize, right? And just that tunnel vision.
Right. So I think, and I've said this many times, I think I have a unique perspective on all of this, a unique experience growing up, being a coach's kid, and not only learning from my father and my older brother, but being around older players all the time, you know, growing up, playing with the older guys as a kid, doing those things like that and learning from them, right? You know, and I'm this 6 and 7 year old kid, this kid in elementary school, you know, and I'm in these high school locker rooms. I'm in these maybe places I'm not supposed to be at this age, but I'm there. And I see everything, and I learned the good habits from the bad habits at an early age, and I think that's kind of carried with me, you know, as I've continued to mature and grow as a man. And one thing I pride myself on doing is, you know, learning, being a student of the game. And, you know, for me, there's no gray area, you know, it's black and white in terms of doing what's right and doing what's wrong. So I try and go out there and, you know, do the right things and be about my business.
Now, you've been blessed with three outstanding coaches, right? Your father, Nick Saban, Lincoln Riley. What are some of the things other than the leadership and those type of things, what have you been able to gather from each of those coaches that you've been blessed with?
You know, I think there's one, you know, even offensive coordinators and quarterback coaches, I think there's one thing that stands consistent through all of them, my father included, Coach Riley, Coach Saban, every coach, and that's the drive they have, the dedication they have to what they do, and they all make sacrifices to do those things and to be successful, and it is what they do. So admiring those things about them and kind of seeing the process of getting, you know, the things that they've achieved, especially at the collegiate level, and Coach Saban and Coach Riley.
Now, we had Quincy Avery on, your QB coach. We had him on earlier, and he talked about how your impact on him, he was really taken aback by how competitive you are, right? And then you look at Nick Saban. I don't think there's another player that Nick Saban got choked up about when he's discussing them. And then you look at the Senior Bowl. You come walking around the fence, and it was like the Pope was approaching, because all the kids were running. So it's clear you have an impact on people. What do you feel is so significant about yourself to make you have that impact?
So I just try and be the best version of myself, you know, try and do the right things like I covered earlier, and, you know, treat people the right way. And I think it's all a blessing, you know, just looking back. You know, and I'm not one that reflects on a lot of stuff, but you brought it up. And, man, that moment with those kids, that's what matters to me, because that's a way of acknowledging that I'm doing something right. And that I'm setting the right example for them. So I just want to continue to do those things, football or not. This is the man I am. So definitely give them something positive to look at and in a way give them hope.
Now, we're going to use the hashtag rare breed, right? Because I know that's something that you stick with. And obviously you're a rare breed off the field. But if we rattle off some numbers, 69.7% completions, 3,851 yards, 32 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and you were accountable for a lot of touchdowns, you know, both running and throwing the football, 52 in total. What is it about your game that makes you such a rare breed to be able to do those type of numbers? Because only two quarterbacks last year were able to have that many yards passing and over 900 yards rushing.
Right. I think it's an testament to the guys I had around me, you know, at both places. Played with great players. I've been coached by a number of great coaches. Every year I've had a different great coach. And I've learned so many things from everybody. Just applying everything to my senior year this year and going out there and trying to play at a high level.
One of my favorite games, I watched it again last night, actually, the West Virginia game. And what, 18 or 19 or 17 out of 18, whatever it was, it was crazy. And then I'm watching the game, and I watch you, you know, zone read and then take off. I watch you pull it and throw a precision pass on a slant for a touchdown. When you're doing those things, like, how are you able to process what you have to do and make that right decision on the fly the way you do?
Well, I think it comes with preparation. And also a motto I like to play by is just read and react. You know, so trusting my preparation and what it is I'm reading and then reacting to it the way I've trained. If not, sometimes you do have to get off of court and make something happen. And, you know, I think that can be very dangerous on an opposing defense. I'm talking about being able to attack somebody, you know, in the passing game and having somebody back there with the athleticism to oppose those threats in different areas. So, it's like a, you know, I guess a foreign car or, a toy. You know, and capable of doing so many things and damaging, being effective in so many different ways, rather. So it all comes down to the preparation and ultimately going out there and playing.
Knowing that's the case, knowing that you're capable of breaking off a 50-plus yard run for a touchdown or dropping it in the bucket 50 yards down the field, is it tough for you to kind of know, okay, you know what, the journey's over in the pocket, I need to take off, or no, you know what, I need to hang out in the pocket just a little bit and move within it and try to pass the ball that way? Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, and to each their own when it comes to that. You know, I've played the position to this point and have continued to take steps just playing that way. I think it all comes down to how decisive you are when you're back there and ultimately having answers to what it is you're doing. And, you know, I think no quarterback with the ability that I have wants to handcuff themselves,
right,
in terms of, hey, I need to stay in here and throw it or do this. Just play your game. So I think that's the biggest thing for me. I just try and go out there and play my game and, you know, there's no telling how the play could end, but hopefully if it's an effective play, a positive play, whether it be, you know, through the air or on the ground, you know, I think I'll take it. I think the whole entire team will take it.
30-4 as a starter, first freshman to start at Alabama. Man, I mean, there's a lot of accolades that could be put in there. When you look at yourself as a passer, though, because I want to focus on that, what is it that you do best as a passer?
I think I can make all the throws. I think I've shown continued growth throughout the different coaches that I've had and been experienced with. Continue to grow there and continue to be as effective there. I think me being able to learn from the different minds I've been around has definitely propelled me as an overall quarterback, and it's made me that much more dangerous. So,
yeah, and that's the thing. When I watch you, or even like when I post a video, like I posted one, you who was it against? I don't remember who it was against, but you rolled out to the right and you threw it to one of the receivers on an outbreaking route, and he had to jump. He jumped up and got it, but it was like you had to throw the ball into this monitor in front of me for it to be complete.
Was that this year?
It was this year. This year, I have it up on Twitter, but I posted that and I said this is an example of how Jalen Hurts can make NFL level throws, and naturally, I got a lot of pushback. Right, and then I posted one of you making a tight window throw in the red zone for a touchdown. And it was just like the goalpost is always shifting. Now, I'm going to say this. I legitimately got pissed off with the responses. And I'm not the one out there doing it. You know what I mean? So for you, how do you react when you see this stuff? Or do you just totally ignore it?
You know, I've kind of taught myself to block out things, you know, and in our reality, you know, there are certain people and certain opinions that don't matter, and so I'm a optimistic man. I'm a positive guy, and you know, I just try and go out there and control what I can control. You know, all else fails, I have a standard I want to uphold myself to and play to, and that's that. You know, it's about the standard I have for myself and the standard we have as a team and how we want to do what we do. So nothing else matters.
But it's interesting because at the same time, knowing that, you have not a chip, a boulder. That's what you told me at the Senior Bowl. You got a boulder on your shoulder. So knowing that, you know, you still have that boulder, and that obviously means you want to prove yourself right, right?
Absolutely.
So at the combine, I was there and watched you throw. I felt like you proved yourself right. How? What was the feedback you got after that performance at the combine with all the throws you made?
You know, I think I definitely helped myself, I guess if you will, open the eyes of certain teams and coaches. And you know, now it's a situation where, you know, I'm controlling what I can. I'm meeting with these teams and these coaches and these people within the organization. So, hey, everything else is out of my control. Best thing I can do is prepare myself and continue to do those things. So when my number's called, I can be ready to contribute and you know, put my best foot forward.
No doubt about it. And a part of putting your best foot forward will be to have outstanding targets at the next level. This is a Titans podcast, so you know I'm going to ask you about AJ Brown. you were there when he got drafted, right? You were with him?
I was with him.
Yeah, I thought I saw your face in the video. He wore your jersey to one of the preseason games too. I talked to him a lot about you throughout the past season. So what would it be like, man, being able to throw the ball to AJ? I know you didn't get to do it at Alabama, but how about being able to do that here in the league?
That'd be crazy, man. That's a good friend of mine, and we get a lot of work in. We hold each other accountable to doing things the right way. And you know, that's a brother. So that would be a dream. That would seem surreal.
No doubt about it. And number one, if you wanted to wear that here with the Titans, I'm not sure you'd be able to do that because Warren Moon had that number, and I think it's not able to be worn. But that being said, being the guy to carry on that torch of black quarterbacks, when you look at Warren Moon in this organization, Vince Young, Steve McNair especially, I know he's a name that you've mentioned in the past as somebody that you really respect. What is it about Steve McNair that stands out to you so much?
I mean, I think the player he was, and, you know, just the player he was and how he played, very mentally in tune. You know, I've watched so many documentaries and learned so much about him through, obviously, that. I've gotten a chance to watch him growing up a little bit.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was a dog, you know. He played that way. He impacted the people around him. And, I just love the way he played.
And last thing before I get you out of here, just carrying on that mantle of black quarterbacks, and you look at this day and age, you got defensive linemen running 4.6s, 4.5s. So a guy like you with your ability is important to extend plays and get out of dodge when necessary. What does it mean to you when you think of being tasked with carrying on the mantle of black quarterbacks, what comes to your mind?
Like I said, like everything else, I do. You know, I try and go out there and control what I can, you know, and always try and set the right example and be about my business. Like I touched earlier with the kids and you know, people out there that are always watching and just always put my best foot forward for them, especially the kids. So being tasked with that, you know, it's kind of the next step of this journey of mine, and I'm looking forward to whatever's in store for me. So
two words for me: impact and legacy. I think you're going to have both. Let the record show that I do not feel any quarterback in this draft is more ready to step into a huddle and lead 10 other men. Let it also show, in my opinion, Jalen Hurts is a top 3 quarterback. You could, whatever you want to do, cold takes, whatever you want, but I'm going to stick to that. Jalen, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, man.
And you keep doing what you do.
Yes, sir.
Here it is. In the back. Here it is. In the back. Here it is. In the back. Here it is. In the back.
I just want to let that ride, man. You know what I'm saying? It's a Wednesday. Woo Wednesday, you hear ODB and the RZA. I am very excited about this show. It was an awesome opportunity to talk to one of the prospects that I really like. And we've talked about Jalen Hurts multiple times on this show, on Chasing TD. And whenever I'm on the air, you know, that's a question that is directed my way. So it was great to be able to have him on the show and just let him speak for what I've been speaking to. So I appreciate Jalen Hurts coming on. And now we just kind of doubled down, right? Having Quincy Avery on as well. And we tripled down because we had Calvin's Corner taking the analytical approach. Folks, guys, the real deal. Freezing cold takes, whatever you want. Go ahead and put my name on it because I feel that way and I feel strongly about it. But what I want to do really quick before we move on out of here is just look at a few places where Jalen Hurts could end up and where I think would be a good fit. Honestly, I think right here with the Titans would be a good fit. I think he would be a guy, and they said the Titans, you know, GM as well as the coach, they said they're going to give Logan Woodside a chance to compete for the backup spot. I think Jalen Hurts could be a backup, but really push Ryan Tannehill as well. So this would be a good spot, but I don't project Jalen Hurts to be a backup in this league. I personally feel like he's a starter. And what better place for him to be than with the New England Patriots? And it's funny because I had a guy, you know, one of the many people that, you know, shift the goalposts when I post something a video on Jalen Hurts, rather than believing what it is that is being shown. You know, I had a guy say, well, he can't do this, can't do that. Why would a team bring in a back? Whatever. Here's to you, my friend. He can be drafted by the New England Patriots, and I believe that he will be the starter by week four. I think he will go in and take over for whoever's there, Jarrett Stidham, Brian Hoyer. I think he's a better quarterback than both guys. And if you don't believe me, check the internet. The stats and videos show it. So I could really see him going into New England, being a starter. And the reason why is because he is the type of player that has the exact match for what the Patriots want to do. He has tunnel vision. He's able to go in and lead a group of men, even though he is younger than pretty much everyone else. He can make throws on the move. He can make throws from the pocket. He can break the pocket. He gives Josh McDaniels a different skill set to work with. I think that marriage, matter of fact, I hope he does go to the Patriots, to be honest with you. Because I think that will be the situation that's most conducive to him showing success. You hate to see a guy have to go in and follow up a legend, but I think if there's anyone in this class that's capable of doing that, I feel it's Jalen Hurts. So that's what I think as far as where he should go. That is the one team. Now, there are other spots, you know what I mean? Hey, listen, if Cincinnati, you know, wants to go Chase Young and then get Jalen Hurts, as my guy Emory Hunt suggested in his mock draft, be sure to check that out too, footballgameplan.com. Friend of the show, also a friend of the station. We have him on various shows. But I think Cincinnati is another good place for him, and you see them starting to build stuff around. I think the Dolphins would be a good spot as well. You know, there are multiple teams. Detroit, I think, is a good situation for him. But I think the ideal situation, Pittsburgh too, can't forget them. I think he would be good there. But in my opinion, the ideal place for Jalen Hurts is the New England Patriots. I think he's built. He was born to be a Patriot. That's my thought, and I'm sticking to it. Now, moving on and wrapping up, the backup quarterback situation. I firmly believe that Logan Woodside will be the backup. It's just every time you hear Mike Vrabel talk about quarterbacks, he mentions Woodside. This is a guy that they trust. I think that he's someone that, you know, Vrabel complimented him for preparing for games like as if he was actually going to play, even though he was on practice squad IR. They feel like he could be that guy to step in. So don't be shocked if they, A, don't draft a quarterback in the first three rounds, or B, don't sign a veteran quarterback to come in and be competition for Logan Woodside as the backup. Well, that's the show. We got another humdinger coming for you next week. But I want to shout out Jalen Hurts, Quincy Avery, and Calvin's Corner for making their appearance on Talking with TD. I appreciate each of you who are tuned in. Be safe. God bless, and good night.